London Calling. David here. G'day. In this podcast, we return to the history of London walks, the early history, the beginning, the Genesis months, over 50 years ago. Yes, we had another very welcome email in this morning from Keith Baverstock in his native Australia. As many of you know, Keith, aptly described as an adventurer, explorer, entrepreneur, and visionary, was the founder of London Walks, the George Washington. Indeed, the founder of what is now a worldwide phenomenon, urban walking tours. Keith went back to Australia in the early 70s, but thanks to the internet, we've been able to track him down, and more importantly, get him to set down for us an account of the first days, the early days of London Walks, essentially a memoir, a very tasty memoir. Keith writes well, and I'm sure he won't mind me saying this, he's an interesting guy, a larger-than-life guy, a character. So as and when the spirit moves him, Keith writes up a memory strand, wings it our way, and I read it out in front of the microphone here. So it's chapter and verse from the man himself, living history. You are getting it in my American tones, my American accent, instead of Keith's Australian wavelength. But hey, London's a collaborative effort, so this is right in the spirit of how things have always been done in this town. Anyway, this is episode 4, The Good Lou Tour. Take it away. Take us away, Keith. In the 1960s, Jonathan Routh was a popular UK TV personality who, from 1960 to 1967, hosted Britain's version of the highly popular American TV program, Candid Camera. When this program finished, he joined with Germaine Greer and Kenny Everett in a later revival called Nice Time. As well as hosting television programs, he was a popular author. Obviously, sales helped by his popularity on television, of mainly humorous, small guidebooks that included the Good Cuppa Guide, followed by the Good Lou Guide, subtitled Where to Go in London. On the copyright page, Jonathan wrote, "This is an impartial guide. Our visits to Lou's have been anonymous. We have not declared ourselves even after making use of the establishment's facilities, nor have we at any time accepted hospitality, but paid cash for all chargeable facilities we have used." The 50-odd paged book, costing, if memory serves me right, 3 shillings and 6 pence, 17.5 new pence, proved to be highly popular, and with John Glashan's illustrations was a bestseller, with a reprint of the 1965 edition in 1969, which happened to coincide more or less with the start of London Walks. Pub tours were underway. Murder Most Foul, Jack the Ripper, had been launched together with other walks, ranging from SPQR, Roman Londinium, to Sir Thomas More's Chelsea. But the popularity of the Good Lou Guide made London's Lou's immediate candidates for the walks treatment. I'd visited many of the featured Lou's myself, but knew of many others further afield, including those at the Parliament of Westminster. It is hard to believe that in 1966, you could approach the policeman on duty at the stranger's entrance and ask to use the loo and be admitted. The new London walking tour on Friday nights and Sunday afternoons proved an enormous hit and generated unprecedented media coverage. National media such as The Observer, Daily Mirror, Daily Telegraph, and The Times devoted many column inches to it. There was radio coverage too. The overseas media liked the idea of a quirky tour and covered it in their travel columns. In Australia, there was even a poem in the Adelaide newspaper. The tour included such gems, or as one newspaper reported them, buildings of outstanding architectural interest, as possibly the oldest loo in the City of London, which was a window seat loo in Dr. Samuel Johnson's house, to the wonderful gents' toilet in Holborn, opposite Staple Inn, where in the 1960s, the attendant kept goldfish in the glass-fronted cisterns that would, when the chain was pulled to flush the loo, slowly sink to the bottom of the cistern before rising again as the water flowed in to refill the cistern. Then there was the wrought iron four-man loo behind Star Yard in the High Court, and a fine brick loo in Lincoln's Inn Fields. We checked that the path was clear, little used on Friday night or Sunday afternoon, and then the tour party of 30 or 40 people would squeeze in and discover its outstanding architectural interest. At one time, we looked at a ladies' good loo tour, but this didn't eventuate. A historic dearth of women's public loos, and the fact that most of the good ones were to be found in the shops of London's West End and Knightsbridge in those days. We'd also have had to up the 5 bob cost to take account of she who must be obeyed, tending the better ones, or the spend-a-penny coin-operated doors in the more public facilities. As you would expect, Jonathan Rauth's best-selling guidebooks led to copycat guidebooks, including The Good Jail Guide by Clive Oversby, which was a guide to a chain of guest houses in Great Britain known as HMP. It would have been great to be able to do a tour of these establishments, but for obvious reasons, we had to give it a miss. After the Good Loo tour, why not follow on and go below ground and explore London's sewers? If the French could do it in Paris, why couldn't we have the same in London? That is the next chapter. Or as Keith put it in the cover letter he sent with this episode, next will be sewer tours in Camden. Can't wait. Keep well. Good night from London.